And I'm going to use several scriptures. I'm not going to have you turn to anything except for Psalms, but you can write down 1 Thessalonians 5:18, because you're going to be a little bit shocked when I tell you about that. And then Philippians 4:6. And then we'll turn to two or three of David's Psalms here. And I'm going to explore this morning the three levels of thanksgiving. Is that okay? The three levels of thanksgiving. And first, I want to just introduce it with what is gratitude. Of course, gratitude is thanksgiving. And in Scripture, thanksgiving is almost always an act. Okay? It's almost always something that you do. There's a physical component to thanksgiving in Scripture. That physical component could be sacrifice. It could be a grain offering. It could be a tithe, the first fruit, a celebratory offering. It could be a physical act of clapping your hands, of singing, of shouting, of rejoicing. So the thanksgiving, but even at a deeper level, it could be, I am so thankful that I have life and breath and health here on this earth, and that my home is taken care of, that I will go and show my thanksgiving by working on somebody else's home, okay? So it's all of those different things, but one thing I think that I probably left out last year was that even though thanksgiving in the Bible is almost always about provision and deliverance, that inherently thanksgiving at the deepest level, the third level that we're going to talk about, is a foundationally connected to God's character and God's promises. And Stevie just ended with a level three prayer. And Kathleen had a level three communion. We weren't thanking God, God, I thank you for your blood and your body, so because my house is good, or because my guy won the election, or because it wasn't based on anything that was provided. It wasn't based on anything that happened that we were delivered from. It's based on something supernatural and mystical and unseen. So I thought that was really a neat thing. And as Christians, we struggle with making our thanksgiving about, I'm blessed, so therefore I'm grateful, and then now I'm not blessed, I don't have what I wanted to have, and now for I'm not, so therefore I'm not thankful. And that's a really big struggle. So our working definition for gratitude is this: a tangible expression of thanksgiving that flows from our confident belief that God is good. So it's a tangible expression. It's a tangible expression. There's something in our thankfulness that is expressed. It's tangible, it's seeable, it's doable, it's actionable. You can't do gratitude, all right? And so it's a tangible expression of thanksgiving that flows from, that comes from somewhere in here, from our confident belief that God is good. Even if the world is a horrible place, even if the economy is in a horrible place, even if my marriage, my life, my physical condition is horrible, I can tangibly express my confidence, my thankfulness to the eternity that God's provided me and the peace that he's given me right now, all right? So that's why I want to make that our working. So when you hear me say gratitude or thanksgiving, I'm not talking about being polite and saying thank you when somebody gives you something, or thank you when the waiter brings you some food, or thank you when somebody opens the door for you. It's much deeper and better and more powerful than that. All right, so I'm going to give you three things about gratitude before we go on. So it's a position or an attitude of being thankful. So gratitude isn't just something that you do. It's a position that you take. Gratitude is a position that you take. And so you can judge yourself this morning. Have you taken a position of gratitude? Have you taken a position of gratitude when you walked into church this morning? Did you, during worship, position yourself in a position of gratitude where you raised your hand, where you repeated the songs, where you connected with what was going on physically? All right? So it's a position or attitude of being thankful. It's an element of corporate Christian worship. Thanksgiving, praise, gratitude is an element of our worship for us to come together and corporately thank God together, okay? And then it's a core piece or component of your inner life. It's a core component of your inner life. A lot of people, you can hear them talk and talk and talk, and nothing they say sounds grateful. And then you say, well, what, you should be thankful for something. And then they'll kind of like blow up and say, well, I'm thankful for something. But then they can't tell you what they're thankful for. They probably aren't flowing from a thankfulness in their heart. So, working definition is a tangible expression of thanksgiving that flows from our confident belief that God is good, all right? And all of those words, not all those words, but tangible expression, flowing, confident belief in something, and that something or someone is that God is good. So it's a confident belief, faith in God, but that he's good, that even in his punishment, he's good. Even if nothing's going on, it's good, and he's good, and it will be good. All right. So this first level is to be thankful for what you have. All right. And not everybody is thankful for what they have because they're looking across the street and seeing what the other person has. You can be thankful for something when you have the best of something and then be unthankful when somebody else shows up with something better than yours. All right. Now, the current election may have gone your way and you said, thank God, God is good. But that Thanksgiving is based on a temporary thing. And soon and very soon, you will be disappointed in the next president and the next Congress in that. So if your Thanksgiving is at basic level one, you will constantly go in and out of Thanksgiving, up and down. Okay. Now, as Christians, we have this leveling thing that's always in us, so we don't have to fall to the floor when the earth turns bad or the world turns bad or when we hear bad news. But also, we don't go ecstatic when something good happens, when something goes our way. There's a leveling here. Not that we're all at a level five, but we're at a six or a seven probably because God is so good. And then in our own spirit, we want to raise that excitement and that confidence of God's goodness in us, that there's peace and love during all seasons within me. You know, and research has shown over and over that thankfulness can alleviate stress. It can alleviate aches and pains, probably lakes and lanes too, but it alleviates a lot of things within you. It actually helps with low-grade depression. It actually helps with when you're lethargic and don't feel like doing anything. They've shown that even just taking a pen, not typing necessarily, because a pen is more connected, something to write with is more connected. There's something there more connected. If you will take a journal and you'll just write every day what you're thankful for, and you just find obscure stuff and you'll begin to be more and more thankful, that even doing that will give you a better level of life. And that being thankful at level one for stuff, people, and experiences, even the lowest level of Thanksgiving will make you a healthier person, physically and emotionally. So if you struggle with thankfulness, if you struggle with gratitude, you might want to start thinking about a Thanksgiving journal and where you have some gratitude in there and see how powerful even level one gratitude is. Now, we have this thing on Facebook where people take this challenge to be thankful, and almost always people are just thankful for stuff. And then what happens about day 10 or 11 or 12, you run out of stuff, so you start thanking God for, thank God that I have eyelashes that keeps dirt out of my eyes, or that I have nose hairs that keeps allergens out of my, you know, all of those things that your nose hairs do for you. You know, thank God that I have this, and you start making stuff up, and we even think thankfulness is even better if we can use some hyperbole or some exaggeration of I thank you that I have the best spouse in the world, the greatest of this, and or that the best kids in the world. We think that there's some honesty in exaggeration, or that it's better, and it's not true. But I would be careful of the showing everybody what you're grateful for, and it's better to internalize it, because sometimes you put it out there, you get it done with. But to write a journal in that. So Thanksgiving, the first level of Thanksgiving is a step, and thankfulness is based not on what is in your hands, but what is in your heart. So thankfulness is not based on what's in your hand, but what's in your heart. If you choose not to be thankful for what you have in your hands, if you have something and you choose not to be thankful for it, then there's something wrong in your heart, okay? If you can't be thankful for your spouse, for your kids, for your job, there's something wrong with you, okay? There's not something wrong with what's in your hands. And this is a tough scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, and don't turn there, it's just real short, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is all over scripture in Old and New Testament, the sinfulness that a lack of gratitude highlights. You are sinning if you're not expressing tangibly your thankfulness. Isn't that amazing? Now, you might be able to point out that drunkenness is a sin, or that cussing out your children would be sinfulness, even though it doesn't say cussing out your children is sinfulness specifically, but it says specifically here that it is the will of God for you to be grateful. Yet we miss that a lot, and we miss the dynamic power of gratitude when we don't qualify it as sin when we're not thankful. And this is funny because, you know, it says you learn more as a teacher than you do as a student. So here I am studying gratitude, and it sucks sometimes to study things that you think you know, because God pointed out an area that I'm unable to be grateful. And that he shows me something's wrong with you, not with your situation. Something's wrong with you. And even though he's told me something's wrong with you, I still cannot write down one thing in this area that I'm grateful for. And it's showing, so it could show something wrong with the situation that you're in, or the people that you're around, or what happened to you. Or it could show that God's at fault, but it's really highlighting what's wrong with me. And that your lack of gratitude is highlighting what's wrong with you. Now, you thought you were going to get a cheerful message, didn't you? But this is good news, because it will break loose a lot of things in you if you will begin to be grateful. If you cannot verbalize your gratefulness for the things that are happening around you, what you're getting, what you're doing, what you're having, then something is wrong for you. It's highlighting a character flaw in you if you cannot come to church and vocalize the songs that we sing. Yeah, that, ouch. There's something wrong in our way of thinking and where our heart is placed if we can't point out to people things that we're thankful for about them, all right? We've got to be able to do that. If we can't, and we can blame everything around us. Or if I thank them, they'll get a big head. And that goes on a lot. But if you're thanking them as a spiritual act of thanksgiving, then you're going to really pinpoint some good things. Because level one, what happens, once you're able to say thank you for this, thank you for that. It was interesting after Election Day Communion to have 5 or 6 thank yous for it, for different reasons for having it. Because I was going to have it anyways, but it really helps you go, it's an affirming thing to have thank you. You know, I was thinking this week, I was with a pastor, and we were sharing about how we were talking about politics, and I shared some stuff that I shared about politics. He's like, I wish I could talk to my people that way. And it made me aware I need to be thankful to have a group of people called the Journey Church that would talk about politics and think about politics and even get their toes stepped on a little bit about politics, okay? And so thank you for that. But this level one thanksgiving is at the very least verbally expressing your thanksgiving to people around you. And the more you practice level one, the easier it gets. And the more powerful you'll see it to be. So what if from right now through Thanksgiving Day, or through Thanksgiving, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you put into practice, you started being aware of, where am I withholding gratitude? And I don't mean to strangers. That's easy to say thank you. Well, I left them a 20% tip. Who cares? You haven't told your kid what you're thankful about them for years, or your spouse, or somebody that's helped you, or something that you did. You express that at the very closest of levels. So the first one is to be thankful for what you have. Of course, the second one is to be thankful in what you do not have. Now, last year I did a message on we're not thankful for the bad, we're thankful in the bad. All right? And I'm going to share a little bit about that in a minute. But at level two, you really have to dig deep sometimes to see how amazing your life is. So let's say your candidate didn't get elected this week. And so everything's bad. Your Thanksgiving's in the toilet. So at level two, you're thankful for what you don't have. You're thankful for what you don't have by saying, I am thankful that I live in the United States of America, that the chance of a military coup is way out of the possibility. I'm thankful that even though there may be a few thousand people protesting, there's millions of people that aren't protesting. I'm thankful that we have a government that's been stable for X number of years. I'm thankful for all the 40-something presidents that we've had, and none of them have wrecked America. I'm thankful for this and this. And start proclaiming all the goodness around that, in that you have. You could be thankful for your job. You could be thankful for your family. You could be thankful that you can move to a different state. You could be thankful that you can move to a different country. And only in America, only in a few countries, in a small part of our billions of people in the world, can you pick up and move wherever you want to move. Can you pick up and go somewhere else? A lot of countries, you don't get to just travel to another village. When you think of the Asia, you think of Russia, and you think of China, they're huge population centers. We have so much freedom. So no matter what's going on, we can find a lot of things to be grateful for. On the second level of Thanksgiving, you see what you don't have, but you begin to see what you do have. So I've said this before, but you lose your job. You can be thankful when you have a job or a car, or you're in a relationship, but in level one. But in level two, when those things are removed, you find things at another level, not level three that we're going to talk about, but this level two level is thanking God for, you know what, I haven't had a job. I haven't had a job for 6 months. I've missed 12 paychecks, but God has provided me 300 paychecks before I got to this point. God has provided. So you begin to think about everything wrapped around that. In Judaism, there's this great imagery of prayer that we use every once in a while at our house, and it starts to get kind of funny, but it's really true, because you sit down and you say, God, thank you for this loaf of bread, and thank you for the grocery store that somebody risked their money to build and put in my neighborhood so I don't have to go 50 miles to get my bread. And thank you for the people who checked me out and the people who loaded it and the technology of the transportation to keep it fresh and to bring it here. And the discovery of gasoline and oil that allows for a transportation system and a country that cares enough to put in, and I can't stand superhighways, but superhighways. Thank you for that, God, and thank you for the farmer that tills this land, that does this, and you begin to thank God in it. And it's not just like thank you for this food, it's thank you for this piece of bread right here and what it took to get to your plate. If you had wanted that bread 150 years ago, you would have been grounding wheat to get that bread. Women 100 plus years ago worked from morning to night just cleaning, cooking, feeding. That's it. It was so much work. And yet we're so ungrateful now. We have washing machines. I don't mean just, and men worked all the time. You know what they would do in the 1850s? They would get all the nails that when they were putting in a roof or doing anything, the kids would collect all the nails and they would do what? They would save those for a really rainy day, or they'd save them for wintertime, and they would melt them down and remold nails and stuff. We think that's ridiculous. And it is for us now, but there's so much to be thankful for. There's a depth of gratitude. And this isn't even including God. So in level one is we're grateful for what we have. In level two, it's we're grateful what we don't have. It says here in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So in what you don't have, you present your request to God with gratefulness. And then what that does, what does that do? God already knows that he's provided life for you. God already knows he's provided paychecks. He's provided relationships. He provided you opportunity. So there's so much in there. So Cresha had her knee replaced. She had her right knee replaced on Thursday. We timed it. By the time we left, and they hadn't shot the drug cocktail in her yet. And I put on my timer. It took 79 minutes before the doctor called us and met us. 79 minutes to replace the knee. It's crazy. And this hospital specializes just in orthopedic surgery. There's nothing else going on there. The whole surgery took like I think 35 or 40 minutes to replace the knee. So I don't thank God for Cresha's pain all these years that she's had a bad knee. I don't thank God that she's had surgery, that she's in pain, that she's recovering. You thank God in it, not necessarily for it. Because you're not thinking, God, God, I thank you that I got raped. I thank you that I had an abortion. I thank you that I was poor. I thank you that my so-and-so died. You're thinking him in those things. And there's something that happens when we're able to find all those things around it, all right? And I missed something I wanted to say here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, yeah. So level one is thankful for what you have. Level two is thankful for what you don't have. Level three, but before we get to level three, there's always a transition between level two and three, all right? And we start the transition we see here in Philippians where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So this is saying you're anxious about something. And if you've been in level one and you have a loaf of bread, now you don't have a loaf of bread, so you go to level two. But if you don't go to level two, you'll never go to level three, okay? So there's got to be a transition, and the transition is you pray, you talk to God, you petition him with thanksgiving, okay? And there's a transition. And this transition is a transition of life was great when I had bread, life is still good that I don't have bread, and life is going to be even better. And the transition between two and three is a transition that we see in Psalm 31. So if you'll turn to Psalm 31. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking so far this is amazing stuff. Thanks for the thumbs up. And it is so hard because it wrecks you at your very core because we like to be ungrateful. We think that our ungratefulness towards somebody will prove something to them. And we withhold thankfulness. We withhold gratitude. I keep getting that gratitude, man. I'm going to have me some gratitude later on. So think about David. We usually think about David as like he's on a harp. He's a young, good-looking guy. But, man, he's a king and a warrior. He comes back from battle, and he's bloodied up. I mean, he's got to have scrapes and bruises and bumps and things on him. But he's a poet. He's a king. He's a warrior. And this is him in verse 10. It doesn't sound like Thanksgiving, but we'll get to the transition. My life is consumed by anguish. In my years by groaning, my strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors, and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. And we can say that is not Thanksgiving. And it's not yet, but it's a part of Thanksgiving. To transition from two to three, you have to be honest before the Lord, okay? And this is David being honest before the Lord. And then in 14, he has a big but here. But I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. In this psalm, in this song that David wrote, we find that embedded in gratitude at level three, transitioning from two to three, that there's a need on our part to be completely vulnerable and honest with God. Completely. You will not be truly thankful for salvation, and you will not walk in the joy of your salvation unless you are completely honest with, I would be a horrible, miserable person without the Lord. I would be a horrible husband, a horrible father, a horrible friend without the Lord. He has done so much in me. And then when you start stating what's going on, and I hope none of you have felt that your life is consumed by anguish and your years by groaning, but I'm sure it's true. I'm sure there's times you feel that way, even if it's only for a moment. I was talking with somebody last week and I asked him a question. They had asked me a question. I had answered. I'd ask them a question back. And they said, no, I never. He goes, I don't judge people like that. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, because I loathe myself so much. I'm consumed with hating myself that I don't have time to hate anybody else. And I was like, that's him right there. And we have that. But see, we're not built or meant or called to stay in that place. We move on to another place, and we move on to, but I trust in you. Yeah. It really, you can be excited. I don't want you to not be excited if who you want to get elected got elected, but I don't want you to be so excited that you put your trust in them and not in the Lord, because that's the excitement's going to go away, because there's not one politician who's ever made you happy or who's ever thought about you. All right? But God has, and God does. So in this, I'm going to say this again. In this song, we discover that embedded within gratitude is the need on our part to be completely vulnerable and honest with God. David never says, God, I thank you that my life is in anguish. He never says, I thank you that I'm weak. I thank you that everybody's talking about me. I thank you that I'm a contempt to my enemies. No, he states to God, he doesn't complain to others. Well, see, we give ourselves permission to complain to others and think we are vulnerable, but we're only vulnerable in front of somebody that couldn't help us. We weren't vulnerable in front of the one that can help us. And so I trust you. You are my God are statements of gratitude, okay? And I just want to, teaching people to thank God for their diseases, for their pain, for their trauma, for their divorce, and for death is really, really counterproductive. It's harmful to people. And I'm going to tell you why. It allows them to be in control of their pain. Okay, it allows them to say, I am powerful when I suffer well, instead of going to the one who suffered well for them. Do you get that? I want us to hear that, because we've shifted the last couple decades from everything's intellectual to everything's emotional. That's what partly what we're seeing in the political environment too. You're saying super emotional. So I feel like this is wrong, so it's wrong. So I won't listen to anything. I'll just feel like it's wrong. I won't even listen to Scripture. But for us to tell people that they have some sort of control over their pain and their suffering and their hurt and their anguish and even their self-loathing, other than surrendering to Jesus, is a bad thing. Saying that I will sit and listen to you and hear you and that's all I will do, I won't share Jesus with you, that's a bad thing. Because they walk away still with anguish. You know, I surrender all. When Stevie was singing that, I just kept thinking, we always think surrender is like I surrender in defeat, but the surrender to the Lord is victory. It's provision, it's protection, it's the future. Surrender to your pain, surrender to anybody else, surrender to an ideology, that's captivity. You give up your freedom, and we surrender to him, and we get freedom. You know, I was talking this week with a lady, and her name is Kathy and Michael. Your giving has helped them. They live in a trailer, and Michael's almost 40 years old. I can't remember how old he is. When he was 5 years old, he had a brain tumor, and they said he was going to die. So it's been 30-something years. And the funny thing is, it's not funny, it's that they could never do surgery. It is literally right here, split, big as a grapefruit. Been as big as a grapefruit for years now, since he's been a late teenager. They live in Conroe in a trailer home. And if I ever want to feel like I need to get my gratitude on, I just call her. She's so thankful. I called them when we had all the rainy season, and she said, yes, we're having some leaks, and I'll call you afterwards. And she never did, so I called her. And so we'll send a guy out there that's done some work for them before, that's done some work for some of us here. And so I asked her, is there anything you need coming into Christmas or Thanksgiving? Nope, God is so good. And in our minds, if we were 30-something years with Michael, who's just, I mean, he really is precious. I don't use that term often. And where they're at and what's happened with their insurance this last year and all of those things, most of us would find a hard time being grateful. But she has moved on to level 3. And level 3 is to be thankful for what you cannot see. Level 3 comes with a price. The price is vulnerability. The price is honesty. The price is usually comes out of tragedy, where you find your way there. Level 3 gratitude sees the invisible, almost unknowable mysteries of the Lord. Level 3 gratitude is how you walk in the joy of your salvation. Level 3 gratitude is how you make it through with your head up high, because you're looking at something completely different. Level 3 gratitude comes from what you have in your heart, not what you have in your hands. Level 3 gratitude, you don't need anything in your hands. You don't need anything going your way. You don't need to live in a world this making you happy. You don't need to be around people that are making you happy. You just have to be doing what Colossians 3:16 says, is to sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And level three gratitude is where we're at. If you read through the Psalms, you will notice a lot of level one, two, and three gratitude. You'll see it. It'll be so obvious to you, because what you'll do is you'll see David thanking God for victory, which is level one. Then you'll see him in level two, where he's asking God to show up, and he's thanking God for showing up beforehand. And then he'll transition to, what would my enemies surround me? He even has one in Psalms in the Message that says, why have you turned your back to me? You're not even looking at me, sort of thing. And that's on your way to level three, when you begin to remember all the things maybe that God hasn't done in that situation, but what he's done before and what he promises he's going to do. It's so much about your spirit and who you are. And at level three gratitude, you're tapped into something far beyond you, because you're tapped into that eternal, supernatural thing that's never going to go away. You begin speaking truth. You begin speaking things. Well, here, in Psalm 34, let me read this. Because this is level three gratitude. You can go to this gratitude level here. And a great way for Thanksgiving is to read the Psalms. Well, the good part of the Psalms, not the bad part of the Psalms. Just the good parts. This thankfulness part here. I will extol the Lord at all times in Psalms 34, 1, and 5, 1 through 5. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Their faces are never covered with shame. Even though David, a lot of times, it feels like he's feeling some shame. That God's not there. That things haven't turned out the way he hoped they were, or that he thought they were. And the thing is that in here also, we see that it says right here, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We exalt his name together. Now, you can't, there's a book out there that has a phrase, don't sing songs to a heavy heart. So we don't want to like try to get people up. We want to hear them. We want to be in that transition from level two. We want to help people move on by expressing it. But there's a longevity in pain. There's a longevity in sorrow that becomes sinfulness, that becomes disbelief, that declares that God hasn't done anything for me, which is never true. So what we can do when we're talking with Christians, whether it's the political season or wherever they're at, we can listen, be empathetic, but then we help move them on into level two, is what is around you that's good. State those things that are good. Be positive. God, a positive is a character of God. All right? God is a positive dad about us. He's never looking down and going, that little rat, I can't believe they did that. I told him not to. He's rooting for us all the time, even when we fall down, even when we get in trouble, even when we break a leg, whatever happens, even if we run off the field in fear, even if we beat up somebody on the field of life, God is always positive that if we will turn to him, that he will have all of our provision for us. So level one is thankful for what you have. Level two, thankful for what you don't have. Level three is thankful for what you cannot see. So, in conclusion, turn to Colossians 1, 12, 13, and 14. Colossians 1. Bless you. Are you allergic to Colossians? Oh, good. Whew. That'd be awful. Cut that out of your Bible. And giving joyful thanks to the Father. Now, if you have that, giving joyful thanks to the Father. See, it doesn't say give joyful thanks to the Father because he gave you a job, he gave you kids, he gave you a spouse. All level one, all things you can do, all good things, things we want to do. But here's why we give joyful thanks to our God, our dad. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For God, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You can pray that every single day as a prayer of gratitude, and that will be powerful. Because what you're saying is, I have been qualified for an inheritance that is forever, that no one can take away from me. I was once in darkness, but I've been rescued into light. I've not just been rescued out of darkness into like a gray area. I've been rescued out of darkness, the complete opposite, into light. And I've been brought to live in the light, and my sins have been forgiven. That's level 3 gratitude. So whenever everything seems to be going wrong, go to level 3 gratitude. When you're physically in pain, level 3 gratitude. When you're disappointed in life, level 3 gratitude. And if you struggle with gratitude, you need to confess your sins one to another. See, I struggle with being thankful. And then have people hold you accountable. Give yourself an actionable task of, I'm going to write some thank you cards. I'm going to start with thank you, just saying thank you, just getting it out, just saying it, just practicing it while I'm driving to work, while I'm driving home. Because you have been qualified to receive an identity and an inheritance that is amazing. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Mike, if you can come and play.